Hi, I'm Carla Wainwright.
And I'm Little Leah.
And welcome to the Radical Sex Witches podcast, where we explore the themes of sexuality, feminism, consciousness, love, healing, ritual, magic, and all things witchy and wonderful.
Hello, all you sexy sluts, and welcome to another episode of the Radical Sex Witches. I'm the mouth of the South, Little Leah, and with me, as always, is the birthday girl, Carla Wainwright, who just celebrated a certain birthday just at the start of this week. Happy birthday.
I did. Thanks. Thanks. And if you haven't checked out the post that Leah made in my honor, that's on our Instagram page, please go check it out.
I think I used the hashtag in there, don't kill me, because I was like,
I saw that.
She's going to kick my ass for using Mr. Bean's voice on her sexy Playboy bunny body.
I loved it. It was great.
Anyways, guess what? It's been a while since we've done a listener-inspired episode, so we're going to have one. And it's pretty loose. Like, it doesn't matter what you identify as, we want your confessions. Where literally you can tell us anything that you need to get off your chest, and we'll read it on the air. So how do you participate in this? Well, if you go to our show notes, there will be a link to a Google Doc, and it's anonymous. You just dump your confessions in there. We'll read the best of the best on the show. You need to have it done by April 22nd. And this is inspired by a Twitter page that I follow called The Fess Hole, and it comes from Britain. And oh my God, the shit that I read on there literally fucking kills me sometimes. Like yesterday I read one about a guy that was like talking about, like, he didn't realize he could keep his cock clean, his uncircumcised cock clean, after peeing by just making a balloon of his foreskin around his penis and then filling it up with pee and then letting it all spray out. Like, that's the grossest shit I've ever read. If you're going to send us that, well, we'll make the most of reading it on air. Oh, Lord.
Yeah. I am excited though, because, you know, there's been a few people who've reached out who, you know, have some stories, and yeah. We're here for them.
There is, like, yeah, that is a wide open book. We don't care what you confess, anything you want. I mean, if it's illegal, it better not be super bad illegal, because we'll track you down. We'll send that one to the cops. Anyways, we got a real good show today. We are visiting the world of yay old sex slang. So we want to know, what word did people use for vagina in 1714 or testicles in 1300? Sex terminology, just like the rest of language, has been evolving since humans started talking. Fortunately, these words have not been lost in time due to the efforts of one Jonathan Green, who has dedicated his life to studying slang of all kinds. And he's got a book, Green's Dictionary of Slang. I love it. Straight to the point. And it chronicles the march of English language slang through the past five centuries. This book is epic urban dictionary for the ages and covers 10.3 million words, all with citations. That's incredible. So I think I need this. Man, I could just get fucking drunk and read that book for a night. That'd be great entertainment. Green says, prepare to be amused, informed, even shocked. Subversive, cynical, witty, and sometimes cruel. Whether we like it or not, slang is humanity at its most human. And that definitely sounds about right. And you know how much we love history. So we're both here for all the sex slang terms from the past several hundred years. And we hope that you are too. So let's get started. Carla, what do you got?
Yeah. So I think the best way to go through this is to go through the timelines for various words from their earliest recorded instance to more modern times. So Jonathan Green, he is a remarkable, he's like, I think he's called the slang king. And he's made these charts with these timelines that you can go look up, and they're amazing. And they've got little symbols beside them for, you know, whether it's representing different types of slang. And then there's like a chronological bar at the bottom where you can like slide through and make it bigger, smaller, all of the things. And they're actually pretty fun. So I'm going to be sure to link those in the show notes if you want to check them out. So Lee's going to get started.
I just have so many questions about him writing this book before we get started. Yeah. Like, how long has it taken him? Where does he find all of this? Can you imagine that's your job that you do every day? That's pretty awesome.
It's awesome. And also, I mean, to find those particular references, like it's a mammoth. I can't even really wrap my head around how he did this, but it's amazing.
Okay. So we're going to start with our particular favorite part of the female anatomy, the vagina. Obviously, Carla's favorite, my favorite, is cunt, and it appears in 1230. Remember, Grope Cunt Lane, boys and girls. I still reference that.
It's the earliest reference of any word. Like, then everything else takes a whole lot longer to show up.
And I love how it's so offensive today still. Mm-hmm. If it's been around for that long. I love it. Then we're going to jump to the 1300s and find tail. Belle chose, which means a pretty thing in French. Quaint. I can't even say this. Quinanium? Quonium? And then in the 1400s, the 1400s, there's socket. Sorry, lap, trench, and clicket gate. In the 1500s, things really ramp up with lots more names, including token, oven, beef, beard, mill, coney, dock, pudding, purse, rough melkin, mawkin, pin case, plum tree, leather, jewel, beef quiver, buckler, golf, pit, it's etc.
Yeah.
Excuse me, can you stick it in my etc.? Altar of Venus, placket lace, treasury, war, where, breach, coney burrow, honeypot, poop. No, poop is in there.
Yeah.
Poop for
but I think that might be like the poop deck, maybe on a ship.
Touch hole, two-leaved gate, Netherlands, like the country. Let's go to the Netherlands. Fountain of love, pitcher, commodity, Venus's cradle, and cunny hole. Holy fuck. And then from there, the words grow exponentially. So we will just list a few of our favorites here. So this, the 1600s, bumble broth, chapel of ease. I'm sorry, I can't take any of this seriously. Your whim wham, fish pond, ace of hearts, stew pot, nonne. The phoenix nest, pudding bag, aphrodisiacal tennis court, and crinkum crackum. In the 1700s, the silent beard, I'm crying. Silent beard. I need to make an image of that. The harbor of hope, center of attraction, and turly whirly. And in the 1800s, eye that weeps, eye that weeps when pleased, snatch box, scrubbing brush, doodle, Mount Fubb's parlor, shagging machine, oyster catcher, and the Cupid's cloister. Doister? Cloister.
Oyster.
Wow, I didn't expect it to hit me in all the feels like that, to hit me in the silent beard like that.
These are pretty amazing. I mean, this is just such a small fraction of the actual words that have been used through the centuries, but they're amazing. Do you have a favorite?
The silent beard is up there for me. And what was the other one that I was nearly pissing my pants over? I can't remember. I got stuck on a couple because I just couldn't get them out. But wow. Can you imagine you're like in the sack and that's how you're turning on your female partner? By like, come on, baby. I want to slip into your chapel of ease.
Probably. Makes for some interesting dirty talk.
It really does. It's very creative, a lot of it. Yeah,
like super creative. Oh, the aphrodisical tennis court.
Yeah, what?
Back and forth, back and forth. Hit my G-spot. Boom, boom, boom. I know, it's pretty amazing. Okay. Leah needs a break.
I need a break.
Something to wipe her eyes. Okay, so let's move on to the penis, which also has an amazing number of slang terms, but actually, interestingly, not as many as the vagina.
Well, that's
When I was looking at those tables, the table for vagina was infinitely more populated. So maybe it's partly because men did most of the writing. I have no idea. But
they all like to brag about their dicks. So you'd think that there would be like fucking 10 chapters on it.
True. Yeah, true. So some of the earliest slang terms for penis that we know of are tackle, jewels, giblets, pudding prick, and rudder from the 1500s. Plum tree shaker. Plum tree was higher up there. So that's, you know, probably had the plum tree and the plum tree shaker. Those were a combo. Engine, knitting needle, ow. Cullis, claw buttock, bully ruffian, touch tripe, and pikestaff from the 1600s. Peacemaker, rule of three, pleasure pivot, silent flute, shaft delight, whistle and bells, and marrow pudding from the 1700s. And then rounding it up here, bean tosser, plowshare, trouser serpent. We still know that one, yeah. Cunt plugger.
God.
Yeah, that's a good one. Holy poker, crupper, bag of tricks, love stick, and bingy. The bingy, all in the 1800s. And I just also want to throw out a few winners from the 1900s, so not that long ago. The dingle dangle, meat horn, love pump, the pony baloney, okra.
What?
Oh, sorry, okra and prunes, and the bobby dangler.
There's some gross ones like meat horn. Open your mouth. Here comes my meat horn.
The marrow. Anything about marrow is kind of gross. So,
oh yeah, that's gross.
But I think I like cunt plugger. And
I bet you do.
Well, and trouser serpent. I mean, trouser snake. We still say that.
Yes, I have a joke with my friend Richie in Kentucky because he has tons of different reptiles, and there's one that's actually called a carpet python. And I'm like, how do you not think penis when you hear that? And he's like, because I'm not a fucking pervert like you are. And I'm like, okay.
You know, actually, and as we go through this, we're gonna realize that some of the words that they're still in use today, and some of them are really old, like hundreds of years old. It's kind of cool.
Because some things just don't go out of style when you're drawing a pound town.
That's right.
And speaking of pound town, we are moving on to intercourse. The earliest known slang term is from 1351, and it's to give someone a green gown.
Yep. That's the first term for sex. That's written down. Of course, people were talking about it way before that, but to give someone a green gown.
Oh my God.
I want to know what that means. Like, I don't understand.
Was it a nice green gown? Maybe they had some sort of infection, and I'm thinking like jizz and stuff. Like, don't die. I really grossed her out there. But how do you not think that? Like,
you could be right. Ew.
But you know what? In 1386, we have swiving and jape in 1468. And then in the 1500s is where the term fucking makes an appearance and seems to have stayed with us. Wow. Okay. I like that fucking has been around for a long time.
500 plus years.
Fucking. And it's still a great word. Other highlights include jiggy joggy from 1600, join giblets. Gross from 1681, rantum scantum from 1761, dance the blanket hornpipe and feel one's pussycat are both from 1823, wick dipping from 1885, diddling in 1905. I always thought diddling was like diddling yourself and masturbation. Well, it's good to know that you found the origin of this word. Hide the Weenie, woo-hoo, game everyone can play in 1981. And Exercise the Ferret in 1963. Yep. Come on, honey. I just bought you a nice dinner. Now let's go home and exercise the ferret. Oh my God, talk about getting me wet.
Seriously. Yeah, pretty funny. Okay, next up we have masturbation. So the first occurrences in writing only happen in 1598. Of course, people were touching themselves way before 1598. But that's actually kind of interesting. Like, we think about some of these words showing up so much earlier. Yeah. But anyway, 1598, and they include rub, friggle, frig, fret, claw, and to milk oneself.
Gross. Some of those are still used, like rub, frig.
Yep. Totally.
I don't know about milk oneself, but you know, someone out there, that's their go-to.
Yep. A really creative term came up in 1744, which is box the Jesuit and get cockroaches.
What?
I don't know what it means, but apparently I don't know how Jonathan was able to discern that that meant masturbation. Like, how did he know that?
Where did he find it? Oh my God.
Yeah.
I need to find him.
Pretty crazy. I would love to have a conversation with him.
No kidding.
He must be a remarkable guy. Okay. In 1865, we now get the infamous jerk off.
Yeah.
Followed by diddle. Oh. Pull one's pud, jerk one's gherkin, play solitaire, pull about, twang the wire, choke the chicken, meet Rose Hancock, do a doodle dandler, and flub the dub.
Flub the dub.
Now all in the 1900s.
So there's lots of those that are still in play today.
Yeah.
How many times have I said jerk off on this show? Like every other episode.
Once or twice. But box a Jesuit and get cockroaches, really, someone, if you know why or like can explain to us what that means, how that references masturbation, please. Like, are the cockroaches like the sperm? Like, what is it?
And who's Rose Hancock?
I don't know. Maybe she was a famous prostitute.
Maybe. Oh, maybe. But then I don't know. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
That people couldn't like that they couldn't afford, but so they would meet her in their fantasy and
her full silent beard, and so they would just like they would just meet Rose Hancock across the room from each other and lock eyes, right? Like it was a simultaneous jerk off together.
Maybe
I need answers. I'm going to be going to do a lot of homework after this. Oh boy, but you know what? We're not done yet. We're going to talk about oral sex, which includes, oh Jesus, lick spigot from 1611, larking in 1744, eating seafood, oh my God, in 1855, face job in 1885. I still say give me some face, right? Like that's a good one. Didn't know it was that old. Cock sucking was 1879. All right. Blow job, 1948. And beard ride in 1982. Wow. Really? A beard ride, even though we were already saying like silent beard.
How many that's right.
That's crazy. Anal sex also has some good ones, which include bardash in 1598. Oh my God. Bugaranto in 1653. No. This one might be my favorite. Invader of the back settlements in 1786. Fuck. Navigator of the Windward Passage and backgammon player, both from 1787. And the famous ass bandit from 1977.
I'm getting so much joy watching you love this.
I'm going to of just like, I'm already like, where can I use these in everyday conversation? Invader of the back settlements is wow.
Yeah, there were actually lots. Like, they even broke it down into like analingus, and then you know, anal set. Anyway, yes, very funny. He's got it all like color coded with different symbols and things. So yeah.
Do you have this book, or is it a website?
I don't have the book, but there's links to his timelines.
I think this would make a great bathroom book, you know, like.
No kidding. You'd never leave the bathroom. Get hemorrhoids. Sitting there too long.
I'm sure there's words for that too.
Oh, well, probably. Okay. So we're going to finish things off with orgasm, bodily fluids, and contraception.
Oh boy.
So the earliest word we get is spend in 1546. That was like big. You read that a lot in Victorian erotica. The word spend. So it's been around a long time. And the rest of the 1500s, we have butter, marrow, cum. Cum is like from the 1500s.
But it's spelled C-O-M-E, not the C-U-M. Yeah, I know.
That's probably more recent, but the word is like, it's old. Shot, curds, I know, gross. And leave the pin. And then in the 1600s, we have ammunition, slime, flash in the pan, squirter, jelly, and snowball. And I've heard flash in the pan, but not in referenced in this way.
No, as you're always like, oh, it was just a flash in the pan. Like, it was something that happened very quick.
That's right.
So it'd be interesting to find out how it was like a sex term, and then it made that segue to what I just said.
Yeah, exactly. In the 1700s, give us injection and Mrs. Phillips Ware. And in the 1800s, we have dub up, tallow, paste, fire a shot, the French safe, spunk, lather, and ointment.
The French safe. Oh my God.
The French. Okay. So there are all these euphemisms about French, like French kissing, the French safe, doing it the French way. Like, those French, they must have been really, you know, very dirty.
They did a lot of fucking.
Yeah. I think the English were just jealous.
Probably. They could have used entrance with an invader of the back settlements to loosen them up, and the civilization could have been a little bit different.
True. Oh, I think you should write a short story using all these words. I challenge you. And I challenge
Fuck our you. Listeners. Don't challenge me on. I'm lazy.
Okay, so listeners out there, Radical Sex Witch listeners, write a short story using some of these words. We will read it. We promise.
Oh, yeah. And we know already from other listener-inspired episodes that some of you are very good writers. Mm-hmm.
So. We do.
So there you have it. We've been using euphemisms and slang for sex forever, and we only really know the words about the 15th century onwards, thanks to this incredible work of Jonathan Green. And we can only imagine the wild words used in other times in history.
I know. Amazing. Amazing. This was fun.
I need to go and bookmark this site and spend some time there for sure. Anyways, next. Now we go into something depressing. After all this laughing and crying, next time on the Radical Sex Witches, we're going to take a look at internalized misogyny. So we're going to be switching it up. Get your laughs out now, fuckers. Get your laughs out now. Anyways, I'm little Leah.
Oh, and I'm Carla. We are the Radical Sex Witches, and we will see you next time.
Hello, witchy listener. It's Carla here. If you're feeling disconnected from pleasure and unfulfilled in life, reach out to me and let's connect on a free call. I love helping women like you shift to owning your sexual power, reconnecting to your body, and finding your unique radical sex witch within. Go to carlawainwright.com or find my contact info in the show notes. Let's co-create a life for you that is truly turned on.